And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU, broadcasting to Hamilton via 93.3 on the radio and also to the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. And like I said before the break, before the program, it's a very labor-oriented program. Today we were speaking with Taxi Workers Union. We were speaking with E-Jazz as part of Taxi Talk today. Then we're moving into discussing the strike occurring among food service workers, part of SEIU here at McMaster. And I'm pleased to present Joan Jones, branch local president here at SEIU, as well as Trish, an employee who's been working for 15 years. Thanks for joining us today, both of you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I've been following the issue when I could on things like Facebook and through the university website, and it's just interesting because this is a university and there's students involved, there's discussion of the issue, so it's hard to avoid the issue in the first place because the discussions pop up on Facebook and you see people are interested and engaged. You've had an effective picket line. People have taken notice. It's the first strike for most people here, and we can get into that issue a bit, but I guess we should start on one of the biggest issues, and it seems that from the publicity and from the discussions, it appears clear that the main issue prompting workers to go on strike here is job security. And it seems that the contract or the settlement McMaster was suggesting caused a concern that job security would be under threat. So could you tell us why you believe that job security was challenged by the proposed settlement?
Okay. The reason we feel that the job security has been taken away from us if we agree to the contract that was on the table as of present is we had two things that were good for job security. One was a number issue that we had where they had to guarantee a number of certain number of jobs, and the other one is casual. Now, the way the number went, we had 173 employees, and we had it in the contract where they had to keep so many full-time, so many part-time satellite. Now, the small group of full-time are in the benefits, and which meant so when they left, a part-timer could apply for their job and end up getting into a decent-paying job with benefits. Now, with them taking the numbers away, they want to get down to everybody making $10.50 an hour. And the other clause we had was what we called the casual clause, or Appendix G. And what that is we said it doesn't matter how many casuals they have, as long as the 173 of us have our 24 or our 40 hours. So we know that companies need the lower wages, and it is a decent job for students that can only do it for 2 hours here and there because of their classes, where it's hard to find a job where they're only going to let you work 2 hours or 4 hours. They're very accommodating that way. So, I mean, we had no issues with the casuals being there. It's just now with the numbers being gone, if it went through that way, and the casual wording, we could all get let go tomorrow and it could be filled with all 10-15 hour employees.
That's right. It seems to me that the settlement would change the whole structure of employment at this workplace, because before you had a category of permanent workers who were working regular hours, very familiar with the work process, able to continue working at McMaster over periods of time that could be counted on to be there. And then there would be more temporary positions that would especially benefit students, and they'd be able to work for shorter periods of time. Now, what you're suggesting is that this settlement would transform that so that everyone was more casualized, and they wouldn't have that kind of security, long-term positions.
Right. They don't want any more of what we call the decent-paying earnings. They want it all $10.50 an hour. And we're saying, you know, what we want to keep the decent-paying jobs in the city of Hamilton for the future kids and grandkids. I mean, I'm sure you're aware that a lot of the decent-paying jobs in Hamilton in the last few years have disappeared. There's more and more 10-15 an hour. And I don't care if you're a woman or if you're a man. It's hard to live on 10-50 an hour.
I think most people would agree with this. And there's two issues here. One is the wage issue. Another is the kind of McJobs situation that you're describing. In terms of wages, one of the things that's been brought to my attention, I understand there's been talk of a wage freeze of some type. Now, if there was no increase in wages, we know that inflation is at least 3% right now, that it's likely to increase according to some projections. So that would mean essentially a cut in wages under the current settlement.
That's right. And also for the small group of us that do get pensions, they want us to pay a portion of our benefits, which means without a raise on top of that, then we're bringing home less again.
Okay, so I understand there's benefit agreements, health agreements, where are they now asking you to cover a portion out of that of your own expense, so whereas it would have been covered under the employment agreement?
Yeah, like before we had 100% coverage for our benefits. The only thing that we had to pay for in the summer when we weren't working is our pension. We had to pay our portion still to keep our pension up. But as far as the benefits went, we were fine for the summer and that, and we hadn't had to pay anything. Now they're asking for like 25%.
Well, one of the things that could happen with casualization, moving to the casual 10-15 an hour positions, is if there were fewer full-time permanent employees, the bargaining power of the union itself could decrease. That could make it easier to implement, I guess, further cutbacks or changes. The union would be less able to resist.
Right, because right now the casuals aren't in the union. So if it went through without some kind of job security for us, then we would all be gone and it would just be 10-15 an hour. There wouldn't probably be a union because there'd be nobody in the union anymore.
Right. Obviously, that is a serious long-term implication, something that I guess you feel you'd have to react to.
Right.
And the 10-15 hour positions, when we talk about wages, I understand if you're looking at the Facebook chats or other conversations and the debates that are taking place, some people are asking, well, why are food service workers at McMaster making $14 an hour or $15 an hour when Tim Hortons workers make $10.50 an hour or so? So I guess anyone would be reluctant to see their wages cut and reduced via wage freezes, inflation, and so on. Why do you think that the permanent employees should continue to receive $14, $15 salaries?
Well, for one, we do a lot of training. We've done like knife handling and everything else. And I think it's the volume of service that we do and the quality of service that we do. And it's just like you look at a regular Tim Hortons and they probably have like 9 people working behind the counter or even 6. And you divide their wages by 6 and it costs the company like $60 or whatever to employ them. Where at the Tim Hortons on campus, they have 4 employees most of the time. So you're looking at like $60 an hour. So technically, it's costing the university less an hour than a regular Tim Hortons on the street corner to keep that line going. And we're just as busy, if not busier, than a regular Tim Hortons. And it's the same thing for Pizza Pizza. Like, I don't know of a Pizza Pizza off campus that goes through 900 to 1,200 slices of pizza a day.
And this is something that's hard to express in contract and in bargaining language in a newspaper article. I can interject my own opinion in here. I've been a student at McMaster over a period of 5 years. I got my BA here and my MA. So I was using food services here at McMaster for 5 years steadily. Plus, I do a radio program here. I'm involved in work here sometimes. I've been using McMaster's food services, patronizing those services for almost 10 years. In that time, I've never really had a problem with food service staff. I've always ordered my food. The full selection has always been there. The food service was prompt. You could just see the whole system working, everyone preparing whatever it be, sandwiches, pizza. And I often come during periods of low volume because just based on past experience, I don't want to have to deal with a lineup. But as a food service worker, you have to deal with some tremendous lineups because there's certain rushes that happen between course periods and at lunch and so forth. So you might have lineups coming outside the eating facilities. And it's constant. So you're dealing with thousands of students, thousands of staff, basically a miniature city. How much volume can you get at certain times? How constant is the patronage and lineups and so forth?
It's hard to say because there are days I know at Pizza when we open at 11 o'clock, it might be 4 o'clock in the afternoon before we finally manage to take a deep breath and go, ah, and then you think, I got to get caught back up in the next half hour before we get hit for night classes. Like, so you might get the odd 10-minute lull here and there, but in that 10 minutes, you're trying to get caught up from what you just went through.
So it's, you're on your feet the whole time, and you're just moving. You got to keep pace.
Other than your break, you're constantly moving.
It's like an assembly line, in a sense. And so you need personnel that are familiar with the kitchen, familiar with food safety practices. I mean, this is not something that's magic. It doesn't come out of thin air to have safe food that doesn't harm someone. If you need to have a clean area, you need to have a safe area with certain practices if you're dealing with thousands of students in huge lineups and huge amounts of volume. So I guess this is part of the training and skill situation that you're describing. You need people that can handle that volume and do it without any problems, without any incidents, without any food that's below quality, below par.
Exactly. And that's the thing. With a lot of us, like I've said, we've been here for years. Three-quarters of us have been here for more than 12 years. And we care about the students, and that's why we're over-cautious a lot of times on what we do and how we do it. And another thing in the contract they want us to get rid of is the, not really get rid of it, but it's the full times that get paid for sick days. They want us home for the first 3 days that we're sick without getting paid. And a lot of us women can't afford to lose $130 a day or whatever it is. So some of us are going to have to come in sick.
Well, you say women, I imagine here we're dealing with people that have families and are
supporting
families.
Exactly. A lot of them are, some of them are single women. Some of them are women that really need it as a second income, because today it's hard to live on a one-person income whether you're married or not.
Now, I can even think of it in a long-term sense, in that you might perhaps wish to send children to McMaster itself. You want to be able to support children coming to the university.
Exactly. That's what I've been saying on the line. Like, there's people on the line that have the rule of 80, so they could leave at any time. But they're out here picketing with us because they want us to keep the jobs for the future kids and grandkids in the city of Hamilton. And, I mean, even the future students that might not find a job in their field for a year or two, it's a decent job. So let's keep the decent jobs in Hamilton.
And when we think about the implications then, moving towards a casualized environment, food service workers being paid $10.50 an hour, coming and going, I guess, in a perhaps high turnover environment, you think there would be a noticeable difference in the quality of service that was provided at McMaster if they were going to a more casualized environment?
I think so, because I think when you're used to the students that come in every day and they're used to you, you get to build that kind of bond with them. And I think that would be gone if people just are making $10.50 an hour, because a lot of them will probably be thinking, well, I'm only here for a couple of years until I find a better paying job. Like, we have students that have come back after being gone for a couple of years and say, hey, remember me? You used to make my sandwiches and stuff like that. Like,
yes,
we build that rapport. A lot of us will say to the students, son or daughter, whatever, because we feel you guys are like our kids.
That's a good point.
We've had students actually come up to us knowing that we are going on strike and saying, well, you guys can't go on strike. You're like our moms. Who's going to feed us?
And we want our sandwiches.
Yeah. I've come to recognize some of the food service workers here at McMaster myself. I think I saw some of them on the picket line as I came in. And that's another point that I wanted to just end with, and that is, it is the first strike, I imagine, for most of the people on this picket line. Now, Joan, you're an experienced worker. You've been working for 24 years. You know how things work in terms of food service. A lot of the workers here probably don't have experience on a picket line. What's it like being outside, especially in this weather, on your first strike?
Actually, it's been really, really cold, but the spirits have been good, because the community has been great. Everybody's been so thankful and so supportive of us that it makes it sort of us feel like it's worthwhile being out here and that we are doing it for you guys. And it is the first strike that hospitality has ever had.
And in terms of support, I know you've heard certain things from students who miss you and miss you being there. If people do want to help, should they drop by, bring a coffee or a soup? Is there a way they can help?
We've had people bring them soup. We've had people just grabbing a sign and walking the line with us, sending letters to Patrick Dean saying they didn't like the wait in line and stuff like that to get us back to the table.
That's the best way they can help, is send out the emails and make the phone calls. We want to get back to work as well.
I mean, and the other union groups on campus have been great. Like, I can't think of any group or that have not been supportive or helpful.
Yeah.
I'm pleased to hear that, because I've seen the discourse at McMaster coming from some professors and union members at McMaster, and it just seems that the entire environment is generally supportive. People that have experience with unions here at McMaster, the various employees and service unions, all seem to understand what the situation is. And it just brings the one other issue, and that is, I remember the issues that the TAs were concerned about in terms of their negotiations with McMaster, and it seemed that job security was a major issue there, too. The TAs were concerned especially about contract labor, contract faculty at McMaster, and that when people graduate and come to get jobs, what kind of jobs are going to exist? It seemed tenured positions are being reduced, for example, and they're just looking for short-term contract professors, lecturers, and so on that don't have the same package of benefits or the same wages or anything like that, and they don't know if they're going to be there the next term. They might have to renew their employment every 3 months or so. So Is that part of a larger pattern, or is it just this general move to casualize?
From what I understand, almost everybody on campus, it seems to be going that way. And that's what's making it scary, because it's, like I said, it's the future of Hamilton. It's one of the last big organizations or big groups that are left in Hamilton.
Yeah, if you don't get any commitment from where you're being employed, you really can't make any commitment to your future as far as buying homes, having families.
Yeah. It seems that you're providing a counterexample to that then, in maintaining this situation. And I think it's something that other employees, other people in food services could look towards in terms of professionalization, in terms of career prospects, is it possible, you know, for other food service workers to look at the long term, how they can develop greater skills, be part of unions, and able to provide better services and a better environment for customers as being part of a more permanent professional organization? It's certainly something to consider, and I think it's something that the strike of this local has brought out. So I thank you for doing that.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
No problem. Both of you, thanks for coming in. I know you've got to get back to your cold picket line, and I hope I hope it's not too much inconvenience to be here.
This was a nice warm-up.
Yes, it was a nice warm-up, and thanks for all the support again.
Okay, no problem. Thank you once again.